Hi, I'm Justin.
I'm Josh.
And I'm Austin.
Hey, have you guys seen Good Will Hunting?
Me
either.
I haven't seen the whole thing.
I also have not seen it, but that's normal.
Have you seen it, Justin?
I haven't, because we're doing Wish Week.
Wish List Month.
Here I might regret it, because, like I said, I haven't seen it.
Just out of the pantheon of movies there are in the goddamn universe, you chose Good Will Hunting.
Well, because most of the movies I want to watch, I've watched.
Okay. All right. This one just kind of sitting on a back burner, like, I should watch that someday.
Yeah.
Not just a weekend, but let's take a show and do it. Let's talk about it. And
hey,
I agree.
That's what we do here.
This was a big movie when it came out. This was a darling of the Hollywood scene. Everyone was fucking writing about this movie. It was mind-blowing. Do you know who's in it?
Me?
Yeah.
Yeah,
Josh knows who's in it.
I haven't heard anything about this movie, honestly.
Oh, okay.
I've heard the title,
before we get
but
to
like,
anything,
that's it.
Let's hear Josh's proposal.
Oh, is this one where we all get to do a movie pitch?
Yes. Well, I've seen
most of it. You've seen most of it, yeah.
You've
I'll
seen enough of it.
I'll get to it last.
Pitch, probably. Okay. I mean, the title, for once, is actually, it may be specific. You know, it has hunting title, so maybe it's like some, you know, a dude and a dog type movie, but it has goodwill before it, so that's kind of what throws me off.
We have talked about dude and a dog movies before.
Well, we haven't done it yet, thankfully, but we've talked about doing them.
Ah, goodwill. So like, where are you going hunting today?
Maybe, I think it's going to be deceptive. I don't to be straight with this title. It's not going to be a movie about hunting necessarily. Maybe it's about, like, an ex-convict or something that gets out of jail and he reforms his life.
Oh, he's
like
hunting for goodwill.
His life or something. Yeah, he's hunting for goodwill.
Okay.
And it follows this, like, you know, process of, you know, maybe what it's actually like to, you know, commit all these terrible crimes and try to reform yourself or whatever. And you see this person's psychology, you know,
okay,
go through this big process or something.
Really interesting. What time period do you think it is?
Whatever modern was for the time of the movie.
Okay.
I would say. What date is this movie? Is this 80s, 90s?
Good question. Justin, do you have a date on this movie yet?
It's the late 90s. 1997.
Late 90s. Yeah, then definitely modern.
97. All right. Same year as some really big pictures. Titanic. The Matrix.
Some heavy hitters.
Big
year.
Some movies we've done for sure. I think The Game, Breakdown.
We had a whole list on 1997 horror and thrillers, guys. So.
Now, is this a thriller, Josh?
This is a feel-good movie.
Okay.
It's literally the goodwill in the title. It's a feel-good movie for sure.
Okay.
Justin, what do you know about it? Why have you always wanted to see it? Where'd you hear about it?
I just heard that it was like a good movie.
When it came out?
You know,
or like
when it came out?
School.
And like through film school and stuff, I just always heard that it was like a good movie. Like
but
one
not
that you
a
should
great
watch.
One. They didn't make you watch
like
it
a solid
class.
A solid movie.
No, it wasn't anything that we watched in class. Granted, like a lot of the stuff we watched in class was like historical rather than good. If that makes sense.
Sure. It was more significant for the time it came out than the art that went into it.
Yeah, Yeah.
Yeah, that's, you see that a lot on Rotten Tomatoes. Anything made before like 1963 has 100%, and you're like,
for
really?
Sure. And it's really not, I guess not.
It's like, 100%. I guess cameras were 500 pounds, so it was hard to hold them steady, but.
Yeah, and like, you used to have, you have to be like an actual alchemist to be a film editor.
Sure, oh yeah, yeah. And there's no, like, redoing it unless you have multiple prints. Sure.
Yeah.
Whole history there. This is 1997. This is, like, the golden age for digital special effects. I wonder if we're going to see a lot of those in this.
So here's my pitch.
Yeah.
I know, just because there's one scene in this movie that gets parodied to hell.
There's a memeable scene in this, Josh, you have definitely encountered.
Definitely seen. Definitely, 100% he's seen it somewhere.
Okay.
So just based off of that scene, I'm going to say that this is a thriller that I haven't seen, about a guy named Will, who gets discovered to be a genius, and he's getting headhunted by, like, a bunch of different companies.
Okay. Because the head, like, they want to scoop his brains out because he's so smart?
No, like, headhunting, like, to get them to work for them. Yeah. Like, corporate headhunting.
Okay.
So it's like a corporate thriller, that's what I'm guessing.
Like, his cat goes missing and there's just a message from, like, Intel on his counter. It's like, if you want to see Bootsy again, come work for us and develop Intel 9.
Sure. Yeah, he's, like, discovered to be a genius. That's what that name is from. He's Will. He's good. Ah. And they're hunting him. So it's Good Will Hunting.
Where does someone who's good end up in that that corporate... probably tied into
no not good like more context. Not good like as in moralistically good
at like numbers,
like good at numbers. Yeah.
Okay, so he's better than most of the supercomputers they have at numbers.
Sure. Yeah, something like that.
Okay. I've seen most of this movie,
and he's probably socially awkward because of it.
I'm not getting into spoilers right now in the opening, but I think I've talked about it on a previous episode. This was when I watched at home with the parents, and my dad fast-forwarded through a dirty joke that's in it, and I've never gone back and rewatched it. So this is like a dirty joke that got away.
You get to see that dirty joke finally.
I get to hear it. Kind of looking forward to that. Don't remember a whole lot about the rest of the movie. Takes place in Boston. A fall time movie, if I know Bostonians and their movies.
Yeah, and I know the stars are Robin Williams and Matt Damon.
And Ben Affleck.
Oh, Robin Williams. So definitely feel good movie. Maybe. Unless it's one of those weird ones where it's not feel good at all.
Where he's like looking at photos and coming to kill you.
That's the photo movie. What the fuck is it called?
He was in two.
1 hour photo.
1 hour photo,
he was
right.
In two of them at the same time.
He was.
It's
he
so
was.
Hard to Google that because you Google like Robin Williams. Horror photo thriller, and it's right. Like, well, yeah, 1 hour photo is the one everyone remembers, but he did another one that was almost identical. It's like a little more sci-fi, and he's trying to solve a murder through these photographs or something, and using a computer.
It's way more sci-fi. Yeah, those are like
they're two
that one's so
thriller movies with Robin Williams that came out the same year about crimes and photos.
Yeah,
I know
wasn't that movie, wasn't that less about like photos and more like memories, or am I thinking of a different movie?
I think you could print out memories like as
Polaroid. I think that's what it was.
Yeah. Just
and he was like edited. Yeah.
Like, wouldn't you think reading those scripts, not seeing them on the film, like the screen, you'd be like, hey, there's a lot of similarities between these two. I know I'm the killer in one of them. Maybe both of them? I don't remember. It's been a long time. Is Robin Williams a killer in this?
I'm excited. I like Robin Williams as an actor.
Is he someone you remember?
Yeah.
The Josh trivia game. Dun, 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 dun.
What? Have you seen Robin Williams in?
off the top, head, Jumanji, the original, on Mrs. Doubtfire. Probably a couple others that I can't think of. Names of those are the two that just come to mind.
I'm really glad you didn't say Aladdin.
Why?
Oh yeah, I have seen a lot. Yeah.
I know, yeah. But like that's that like the obvious. That's like the obvious one.
Oh.
I was hoping for a deeper cut.
Oh.
Oh no, I don't think any of like despite like There's a lot of his works I haven't seen. I just
What's
know.
What's the one with him and Nathan Lane?
Right, you've never seen Death to Smoochie.
No.
Or, what's the one I'm thinking of with Nathan Lane in it? They play a couple, and one of them had a kid in a previous relationship. It's really
Yeah. I do remember what movie. I don't know the name.
You said
Birdcage. Birdcage.
The Birdcage. Yeah, you said Death to Smoochie, and it annihilated it from my brain. Like, just came up with, like, a hitman. And just... I can't believe you've seen Mrs. Doubtfire.
I know
it was a cultural phenomenon, but that is an insane movie.
I can't believe that you've, that was, almost three movies you listed.
I can't believe you recognize Robin Williams as Mrs. Doubtfire after getting through all the Austin Powers movies.
I mean, he has a very distinct voice, I would say.
It showed him putting on the costume. It showed him putting on the costume.
Okay. Also, yes, that.
It didn't show Austin Powers dressing up like Fat Bastard, okay?
That would break the immersion. You're not supposed to know. They're two separate characters. Toodaloo! Dips his face in the pie.
The Japanese poster for Mrs. Doubtfire legitimately makes it look like a horror movie.
It is a horror movie. It is a horror
Yeah, but it's not
movie.
Intended to be a horror movie.
I've seen the trailer cut, too, where it's re-edited to be a horror movie, and it's pretty good. Pierce Brosnan's in it.
I just saw that they're releasing a Mrs. Doubtfire Broadway musical.
I don't need that.
Here is the Japanese poster.
You posted it to the Discord?
You have to see this.
Oh, yeah. she's family annihilating them all with poison.
That looks great.
The late, great Robin Williams.
Yeah.
I have to get it out of the way. This is probably the first Robin Williams movie I've watched since he passed.
This is the first one we've done on the podcast.
It is definitely the first we've done on the podcast, yeah.
I gotta be
honest. Did you watch What Dreams May Come that night or something?
I watched Hook that night.
Did you?
I did.
Okay.
His hit me pretty hard, man. I love Robin Williams.
I hear that.
Still do. I cried.
Hook, another really big one. Josh, have you seen that?
It's ones I'm not sure. I've seen it a long time when I have trouble. Bring it, or if it's so cultural phenomenon that I know like 90% the movie from like the memes, the scenes,
okay,
and stuff.
We should probably do a rewatch then in some big month.
I legitimately love that movie. I've watched it.
That might be fun to do a rewatch month where we watch movies that we've all seen, but it's been a while.
Just great movies.
Because that movie holds up. I'll say it right now.
That's good.
It's been forever since I've seen it, but it was a,
I watched
it, was a big
it recently
of my childhood.
Like within the past couple years and it's still maybe it's nostalgia glasses, but I don't think so.
I mean, you've got Robin Williams and then you have Anthony Hopkins playing the antagonist. Tinkerbell is fucking Julia Roberts, right?
Justin Cook is Hook.
Really?
He does a great job. Yeah.
I could have sworn it was someone not wait, who'd you say was Hook?
Justin Cook.
No, he's like Shmi. Hook is someone huge. Hook is like
Bob Hoskins is Shmi.
Yeah.
It's Dustin Hoffman.
Yeah.
Dustin Hoffman. Yeah.
Didn't I say that? You coming at me with somebody else? I'm like
no.
Slipping into a Berenstain universe here thinking I have the wrong Hook actor.
Hook? Julia Roberts, Tinkerbell. Good movie.
Yeah, star-studded. All right. On that note, we're going to get to this one. Good Will Hunting. Hopefully it's as magical as Hook. Kind of doubt it. I'm sure it's going to be wicked awesome with plenty of lobster rolls. Should order Boston Market tonight. Themed dinner. Some baked beans go with it. You ever have those candies? Those Boston baked bean candies? They're like
if I have, I don't remember.
They come in a box, a paper box, and they're red and it's peanuts that are candy coated. They're called Boston baked beans. But every, like, once in a while, as a kid, you'd get a bad one. And it'd be, like, a really fucking burnt peanut or something. And it just ruined the whole thing. You're like, ugh! It's like if you got a terrible M&M, you'd be like, I'm kind of done with M&Ms for a while. Like a stinky M&M or something. It's like, how did that slip through the cracks?
You gotta hate those stinky M&Ms.
Yeah.
It's like whenever I went to Del Taco and I got some food and the entire cap for the guacamole machine was in my taco.
Wow.
And then I stopped going to Del Taco.
Yeah, yeah. Things like
that. You should have kept going. You could have had like a whole guacamole machine eventually.
For a little while.
Just in your room, a guacamole dispenser instead of like a sanitation, just like a sanitizer.
I did try that, Josh, but I kept just getting the same part.
Oh, okay, that's not as good.
Just the little tube.
I don't know why he comes back asking for the little plastic part in his burrito, fucking weirdo. We'll be back with 1997's Good Will Hunting on Have You Seen? We're back, having just seen Good Will Hunting from 1997.
It wasn't a thriller about corporate headhunting, kind
almost.
Of.
Almost! There were a couple of scenes. It almost got there, and I was like, ooh, what if it turns?
It was about a guy named Will, though.
Especially yeah. That scene with the NSA.
Yeah.
That got kind of dark.
Did it?
Yeah, it is about a guy named Will. It's debatable whether or not he's good and who's hunting what.
It's a play on words.
It is a play on words. Kat says it's a real stupid name.
Yeah.
right off the bat, we see Will. He's got a job at Harvard, Yale, mathematics department.
Janitor.
In Boston. A lot of Boston in this. Have either of you been to Boston?
No.
I have.
What are your experiences there, Josh?
I was in middle school, so I don't remember much. I just remember being a big city, and we went to a bunch of different... We did Harvard.
I thought that you were there for, like, your big time, like, making big time board game mogul moves.
No, I was there for, like, an 8th grade field trip.
An 8th grade field trip to Boston?
It was some sort of gifted program nonsense, like, we're going to enrich your kids by taking them to a big, cool place.
Like, if they see Harvard, they'll be like, wow, I want
to
go there.
Oh, we went to New York, too. And they didn't just take us to Harvard.
You went on a tour of, like, the
They
East
take
Coast?
You to all the high Ivy League, like, the Ivy League schools?
I remember schools to Harvard and then saw a couple of, like, big places in New York.
Josh is the secret Goodwill Hunting of the group. He's never told us about. In middle school, I got private jetted all over to the different Ivy League schools.
I don't know that. That's a little much, I think.
Just a little.
Yeah.
But, yeah. You know how I knew this wasn't Boston? Because in the scene where he takes the girl for coffee, he's drinking Pete's coffee, which is in a specifically West Coast, California, Oregon chain of coffee.
What?
The rest of the movie... shocker, I bet film was filmed in California, like every film.
Maybe. What? Some of it's probably was in Boston.
Immersion breaking, that...
Kinda, yeah, actually.
That's an amazing call, because I was looking for palm trees the entire time this was being...
You know what? I was looking at the coffee cups, and all I was seeing was Dunkin' Donuts. I was like, that's Boston.
There's Dunkin' Donuts.
Well, Dunkin' Donuts is everywhere now.
Dunkin' Donuts, even at this time, was all the way west to the Mississippi.
I know, but it's like a Boston thing, though, right?
Yeah, I've heard that Dunkin' Donuts is a very East Coast establishment, like almost as populous as Starbucks in major, like, urban centers.
Sure, but apparently. I think that's because it's everywhere people just talk about it. Like,
I think it's like based there. Like, that's
sure,
where it
sure.
came.
I'm saying that this time.
Well, now I gotta look and see where Dunkin' Donuts
it was
came
like
from.
To Chicago at least.
Of course it was, it by this point, yeah, but I'm just saying, Coast. It's like their thing.
So, Justin, never been to Boston?
No.
I went once, it was right after I read a Stephen King book about Boston, and we were taking the train that's in this all the time, mm-hmm. and it went into one of its underground sections and broke down, and like the power cut and all the lights went
off. You thought you were gonna get
and those fucking red lights taken. Came on those like emergency ones.
You thought you were gonna get taken to like Stephen King's Dark Tower or something.
I mean, he lives in Maine, so I thought this was gonna be more of a Clive Barker Midnight Meat Train situation.
Oh yeah, that's worse.
Yeah, way worse. Yeah. I can handle going to a Wild West gunslinger world way easier than
I wouldn't
want
to go to either of them, I think. I don't think I'd want to go to either, given the choice, I'd pick Dark Tower.
Sure, yeah.
I'd rather fight against the devil wearing denim blue jeans.
That's pretty metal. Cocaine is readily available.
Then
just be eaten alive by cannibalistic, like, sub-humanoid chuds. Yeah, yeah, no fucking shit, Justin. It's just a really tough would-you-rather. You want the chance to hold magical pistols or just, you know, be devoured on the spot? speaking
some
of
days, man. Some days.
Sure, sure.
Being devoured
sure.
on the spot. That's kind of nice.
Just open those train car doors and ring the dinner bell. Speaking of, like,
so I've never been, like I said, I've never been to Boston. Is this how batting cages work in Boston?
I've never seen an indoor batting cage in my life.
And also where, like, instead of having the automated,
man,
like,
I don't
the
want
whole
the machine.
Point.
I'm going to do it tonight.
Yeah.
Take that machine and wheel it out of here.
That?
You see, like, all these batters
what are
in
they
here?
Doing?
All of them can just wang balls at me, like, as hard as they want, because I'm in the middle of the fucking batting cage. I don't know. He's some sort of genius.
Yeah, right? Super genius.
Can
also, no
just...
fucking way that none of those people... Sorry, we'll get there.
Sure.
We'll get there.
Could you not just go to a park and throw a ball and your friend hits it? Why are you going to an indoor batting cage?
Well, I guess this way, they like the ball gets... Like, it won't go that far away. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe it's raining.
It's not like they were even playing baseball. He was just throwing it at Ben Affleck.
Yeah, one of my notes right off the bat is this is a really hostile and antagonistic group of friends.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
It's Ben Affleck, Casey Affleck, and Sarsgaard, who is always head down drunk in the back seat of the car with a beer in his hand.
Sarsgaard?
What's his name?
Stellan Skarsgård is the teacher.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Who's the dude in the back of the car who's always drunk with Ben Affleck?
Billy, I think, is his name.
Okay.
Played by Cole Hauser.
Oh, okay. Okay. I thought that the Skarsgårds are a Hollywood dynasty. There's 27 of them currently acting. I thought this was
sure.
one of the younger ones.
Right, yeah. But no, Stellan Skarsgård is like the main. Like,
no, William Hurt is the teacher.
No, that's Stellan Skarsgård. I'm looking at the IMDb right now.
Okay, what's it say?
Stellan Skarsgård as Lambeau, who was the teacher.
Oh, okay. Who's William Hurt? William Hurt in this?
No, William Hurt's not even in this movie.
Okay, he just looks like William Hurt. I'm not a actor fount of knowledge like you, Justin. The Goodwill Hunting of remembering actors' names.
The only reason I know is because I have the IMDb pulled up.
All right.
But no, Stellan Skarsgård is like he's the sire of all them Skarsgårds that are out there now.
Yeah,
Yeah.
Okay, he's Big Daddy Skarsgård.
Oh yeah, he's Big Daddy Skarsgård.
He is the math professor. This is pretty high level math. At Harvard, where fucking Matt Damon is the janitor. And either of you ever take a high level math class that has all this stuff in it?
Nope. I stopped taking math as soon as I was able to.
I really like it when I'm in it, but I'm not going to do it for fun. He sees it on the board, takes it home, and does it on the mirror. It seems like he's kind of living a double, triple life at this point, because he has his friends who he like goes around town and gets in fights with and drinks every night. Comes home, does super high level math in the bathroom, so no one can see him do it, even though he lives alone. He doesn't have 12 brothers.
Yeah, and he like wipes it away.
Yeah, he's
after he does all of it. But I guess because it means nothing to him, because he's like fucking.
He and Ben Affleck did write this movie.
Yeah.
Which I was really impressed by, but then I'm like, okay, they were definitely in stuff before this came out.
Oh yeah, for sure.
The Kevin Smith stuff, they were pretty young in.
Was this before or after Dogma? Wonder. Oh, they were in that together, right?
Well, I'm thinking even earlier, Mallrats. Weren't they both in that?
Were they both in Mallrats?
I feel like Matt Damon had a small part as like a bully in that, because Ben Affleck was like the main bully. But maybe he wasn't. Maybe they both weren't.
Dogma came out after this, 99. Yeah. 2 years later.
Okay. And then Chasing Amy, were they both in that, or was that just Ben Affleck again?
I think that was just Ben Affleck.
Because you're the
that was this year of the group. That was this year, 97. Or not this year, but you know what I mean.
Dang, Affleck was doing a ton of work.
Oh yeah, and Ben Affleck and Matt Damon were like, they were like the Hollywood. They were like a Hollywood bromance for sure, right? Like, oh yeah, Matt Damon was in Chasing Amy, but it looks like it was like a throwaway role. It says executive number 2, Matt Damon.
Okay, so it was a paycheck to get this movie like off the ground.
Pretty sure by this point neither of them were really hurting for a paycheck.
Sure,
but...
sure. There's a really good slow-mo fight on the basketball court that reminded me of previous movie Step Brothers. I thought they were going to fight these guys, then get in a fight with all these kids, just be like, it's our turf.
Yeah, right. It came out of nowhere, that fight.
Oh, well, they were at the bar with them, and I think those guys were antagonizing them there. And then when
he said that guy used to pick on him in fucking middle elementary school or something.
Kindergarten. He beat him up in kindergarten. But then they're driving home, and I couldn't tell... what they were doing, these guys were giving the kids on the basketball court shit, right?
No, they were catcalling the girl walking by.
Oh, okay. And they're just like, oh, we should jump them. And I love how Casey Affleck is like, no, we just got snacks. We should have jumped.
We just got a burger.
Yeah. Can I eat my double cheeseburger that Ben Affleck had to be a dick about? Not hand to me right away?
That's Casey Affleck's entire life, right?
Oh, yeah. Because Ben Affleck... between this and like Mallrats and Chasing Amy, plays the douchebag character like phenomenally.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying, like in real life,
it's no coincidence.
Casey Affleck has to go through. Yeah. Casey Affleck has to go through Ben Affleck for every cheeseburger he eats.
Oh my God! He brings Casey Affleck into the DC universe and makes him be Robin, like with the traditional costume.
Like the 70s costume.
Yeah. G. Willikers, Batman. This sure is scary. Zack Snyder's like, could you add a swear to that? Just to bump it up. G fucking Willikers, Batman. Josh, thoughts right off the bat?
What, the movie in general? What are the opening scenes?
Movie in general, then we can get into it.
I like Robin Williams a lot, so I'm glad they were here. I think that if they weren't in this movie, this would be really, really boring.
Robin Williams, it shines in this.
Yeah.
He is a beacon of light in a beige-colored movie. Every moment he's on screen, it didn't feel like it was too long.
Right.
And when he's just like, he's got these long monologues, and he's like really digging into the character.
I genuinely liked the chemistry between Matt Damon and
Here we go. We're back to you're talking about William Hurt
Mini
here. Mini
Driver.
Oh, okay.
Skyler.
He was terrible though. Like, red flags were just popping up all over the place.
Of course,
it's a very
that scene where she was like telling, like, this is towards the end, I guess, or I guess the middle, where they're like breaking up, mm-hmm. and she's like telling him I love you, and he's like punching the wall. Like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. One of my big notes was he's angry because he's too smart.
He's angry because he's too smart.
He's too smart.
He's too smart for his own good, so he's real mad.
Yeah. He's a white guy with his bowl cut, and he's going to punch the walls.
He's an orphan.
Yeah. In that way, the dialogue gets old really quick when Matt Damon is kind of talking.
I love Robin Williams, but man, he was slipping out of that Boston accent like nobody's business.
Oh, I thought he was tipping his toe in it. Like, every once in a while he was dipping his toe in it, but
no, that's what I mean. Like, he was like whenever he would say the word ka, he'd have a Boston accent, but that was it.
Because they're both Southies. Didn't you hear that line? That's why you could help him when Skarsgård's first going there and trying to convince Robin Williams to talk to this kid.
Mm-hmm. I did also kind of thought it was funny, like, if not really super funny, but an interesting scene of him playing all the doctors that Stellan Skarsgård sets up for him to meet with, and he's just like fucking with them.
Yeah, it just kind of lends to the he's so smart for his own.
He's so smart. Yeah,
but I didn't like some of the things they played off as jokes in this part, like family abuse and molestation. They're just like, oh, he's messing with them, or calling the guy out for being gay.
Yeah.
Really awkward. It's like, yeah, wow, awkward. That didn't hold up. And the guy got flustered by it. Like, that broke him. He could, like, peek into your soul and just, like, crush you with the simplest twist. It had a really Dennis Reynolds feel from Always Sunny.
You could definitely tell that it was that he wrote the main character, and he's playing the main character.
It's not as bad as some movies I've seen where you can tell that's obvious. Like, we watched a pretty new one on Shudder the other night called Dave Built a Maze,
mm-hmm.
and it's got really good practical effects, all labyrinthian kind of things. Very magical realism, kind of science of sleep feel. And everybody in it was really good, and except for, like, the lead guy. You were like, wow, I bet you anything he wrote this movie. Because it just had that feel to it.
It's kind of what I thought about Letterkenny, to be honest.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's the same thing. Like,
careful,
I'm like,
a lot of people love that right now.
I love Letterkenny, don't get me wrong, but I also couldn't divorce the fact that I'm like, oh, look, here's another thing he wrote in about how awesome he fucking is.
Yeah. And it wasn't even a slippery slope. That was first episode. Head dive into it.
Sure. So a couple notes I have. Whenever they are in the trying to figure out who solved that unsolvable math thing. No way that someone didn't just claim it, right? There's no way.
I think
that someone in that room
I was thinking about
wouldn't
that.
Just claim it.
I think at this high level of math, you gotta prove it. Because look at what happened to Goodwill. Those are his three names. Like,
yeah, the next thing they're gonna do is ask another super complicated math question.
Yeah.
The answer.
Sure.
And they're not going
to. Which is exactly what, that's exactly what he did even before he knew who was doing it. He's like, all right, I'm putting another one up there. See if you can solve this, you fuck.
Try and connect these dots.
I kind of wanted this to be the whole movie. Where the hunt for there's goodwill. This mystery math magician. And like they keep trying to catch him and he keeps getting God, away.
A mystery math magician. That is a plot.
Whenever they went to the bar and they and
who
Will
are we talking about?
Meets Skylar.
Oh, okay.
Like whenever his Ooh. Group of friends go to the bar and they meet the two girls and that dude comes up and starts dogging on
that
Ben Affleck.
Blonde fuck?
Yeah, I do not think that Ben Affleck knew that he was being dogged by that dude until
no.
the girls started reacting.
But also, that's 8 foot tall Ben Affleck in a bar.
Yeah.
And he has signs of being in a recent fight. Maybe don't think that your Harvard words are going to intimidate him. Dangerous move is all I'm saying.
Well, Ben Affleck was trying to pass off as being a Harvard student.
Still.
So he was like
dangerous moves. He got bruises all over his face, and it's big Ben Affleck.
Yeah.
But no, Goodwill steps in and beats him with his brain.
Yeah, verbally abuses this dude.
He just throws him through the fucking wall of knowledge with his library pass. He's like,
also,
all your money.
Another question I have, why did Will assume he was fired? He wasn't. They're like, he didn't show up for work today whenever Bill Stellan Skarsgård goes looking for him.
Oh, because he assumes the worst. That's something Robin Williams talks about later. But in that bar scene, something comes up that later... There's a lot of things in this I noticed that we'll establish and then come back to. Almost too many, like three or four returning plot points. And
they
the
do
first
it quite
of
bit.
Them is in this bar where he's talking to the guy and he's like, hey, you're just a freshman and you read your Harvard law and you do your thing. Like, you're with Charlie at the party when he's trying to imitate him in this scene.
The scene that they're trying to make fun of in Always Sunny in Philadelphia, yes.
And he's like, oh, you're just regurgitating knowledge, but how do you feel about it? How do you feel? And that, like, he's like, you want to go outside? And this guy backs down. But later, Robin Williams does the same thing to him. He's like, you just regurgitate things. I don't want to hear that shit. And it's like, oh, callback. Like,
callback.
Real obvious callbacks. And towards the end of the movie, they were picking up in pace. Like, these callbacks would happen 5 minutes apart from each other.
Like whenever Robin Williams would tell him, oh, that's a good way to go through life. Makes it where you never have to get close to anybody. And then, like... Three sentence later, Matt Damon says the same thing back
Matt
to him.
Matt Damon in three sentence sailor.
Three sentence sailor, yeah. Three
it's
sentence
like the
later.
Martian, but he only says three things and it's on the sea.
This is where you think Will went? He went to Mars?
Oh, yeah. That is a direct continuation of this movie. He's the only man who can fly a spaceship without the outside of the spaceship being on it.
He's so smart! He's so ungodly, otherworldly smart because he has a photographic memory.
He
and
doesn't
nobody
know what a photographic memory is.
Nobody has those.
When she asks what a photo, if he has one, he doesn't know what that is. All his book reading, and he's never come across the term photographic memory and been like, hey, that's what I's got.
Right.
Nope.
Hey, I remembers everything I sees.
In pictures. No, he just does it. Like, you know those famous composers that didn't practice at all, they just sat there and did it? He's like that.
I don't know what this is in reference to, but in my notes I just have the words Ballyhoo with a bunch of exclamation points next to it.
Oh, okay. So that's the first therapist he sees. He's like, you must stop this these shenanigans, this horseplay, this Ballyhoo.
Yeah, he gave like a bunch of synonyms. I've never heard Ballyhoo before. So that's what it was.
I'm sure there's a lot of words for fun and gallivanting is one of them he used, I think.
Yeah. You can't have any more fun, Will. You're a genius. Geniuses can't have fun.
I was digging Skarsgård's fashion. He's got all these long black coats with like scarves under them.
Mm-hmm.
This assistant, though, there's another movie where this dude's a serial killer.
He's very jealous. I'll just say that.
He's the Zodiac killer.
There's... No, that's Ted Cruz.
He's playing the Zodiac killer. And then he's like, later, Will just like beheads this guy and is like, hey, I finished your formula for you. It's way easier now. And the assistant goes over to him and like pats his shoulder and he's like, I know just how you feel. He had such a Smithers feel to him.
He did. He was definitely Smithers.
There needed to be a little more character development on him, I thought, though.
It's already a long movie. You guys are complaining about it being long. You want him to add more?
I don't want any more goodwill. Like that, I can't stand when he's talking.
Just the hunting part, please.
Just the hunting.
So it takes a while for him to finally open up, establish trust, which is what Robin Williams is talking about whenever you meet his character, where you have to establish rapport with your... patience.
He's talking about that to his class.
I believe he makes the joke, you gotta make if you can't convince them to sleep with you, what are you doing? Something like that. That was one of the jokes he made. Was like, fuck them while they're vulnerable, that's my motto. Or something like that. And he was just doing it because he didn't feel like it. He just said it because he thought nobody was paying attention to what he was saying in the class.
Right. He teaches at a community college, whereas Skarsgård is at Harvard. They were roommates back in the day, and there's this animosity between them because Skarsgård won a prestigious Medal of Honor in the math world.
Something that they are like trying to tout as being better than a Nobel Peace Prize. Oh, okay.
Oh, that power. I'm sure. Where he tells that in front of his class.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Fields Medal for math. They only give it out every 4 years.
I'm sure it's a big deal.
Yeah.
I'm not a math guy.
I wonder.
We could ask, who do we know that's a math? Mamina? She likes math, right?
Yeah.
Maybe she knows what that is.
I wonder if Fields was a prevalent, like, destroyer of human lives, and that's why he put out a medal, like Nobel.
Yeah, probably.
Comes with $1 million.
That's what you gotta do. If you want a
legacy, will redeem me. Math nerds, that's where I'll hide my prize. Just a famous general who committed a bunch of atrocities. They'll never find me in the math category. So he meets up with God. What is her name in the movie? The movie does her such injustice.
You're talking about Skylar?
Skylar, yeah.
The girl Matt Damon is, like, the British girl?
Yes.
Yeah. That's Minnie Driver, in real, like, the actress. Mm-hmm. But her name is Skylar.
Minnie Driver, playing Skylar, is a biochem major?
Something like that, yeah. And he just keeps doing her homework for him so they can go out on dates.
Yeah, the scene where she's like, yeah, I'll go out with you tomorrow. I have to learn some organic chemistry, this really complex molecule. And he goes out on the lawn and just like sketches it on a napkin and is like, here you go, I figured it out. I didn't want to wait until tomorrow for our date.
And she's like, well, that's good, but I need to know this.
Yeah. This is Harvard, 97. We have access to, like, science internet. I can look up a picture of this molecule, but no, I need to know what it's doing. Because she has some sort of render going on her computer, pretty advanced for the day, of, like, a 3D molecule floating around. He keeps assuming she's into him for, like, money reasons, which makes no sense. Because she's, like, a Brazilian.
He brings up the money a lot.
Yeah, she...
He brings up the money quite a bit.
Yeah. She has an inheritance from her dad, died when she was 10.
And I don't really think that he's interested in, like, taking advantage of her. More of just, like, he, like, holds it against her. Like, oh, you're, like, super rich hoity-toity girl.
I don't think even that is the case. I think he's afraid that she's not going to be into him because he comes from, like, nothing.
Yeah, he's not good enough because, yeah, right, that's his whole thing.
Right, yeah.
We watched the movie.
But at the same time, I'm like, why Have you never talked about how she lost her dad? Like, you are an orphan. She lost her parents, I assume, or maybe... He doesn't care. It doesn't come up until they're, like, breaking up, and it's like, damn, this is an asshole.
Yeah. Well, how long do you think they were dating? What's the length of this movie? Like, what's the course?
It's hard to tell, because if it was filmed in Boston, you'd get some seasons, but I think you're right, Josh. I think this is a Portland shoot.
Definitely somewhere West Coast. Maybe Oregon, yeah. Because no palm trees.
Palm trees are as far north as Washington, I think. There's some up there, but only on the coast. But if you were in Boston, you'd have like the fall, which is a big thing there. But then you'd have like a super harsh winter. And
you guys are wrong.
What?
I looked it up.
Yeah.
Although set in Boston, and many of the scenes were shot on location in the greater Boston area, most of the film's shots were filmed.
Wait.
In.
Let's guess. Josh?
I thought you just did.
We both said Oregon, so we get fresh guesses.
I would also say Oregon.
Mm.
That's a terrible guess, because I just said that was wrong.
Yeah, he said it was
Washington. Washington.
Vancouver.
You're close. It's Toronto.
Shit, yep.
Mm.
Okay. It feels like 6 months, maybe, because there's a lot of scenes with him and Skarsgård in the offices, like
6 months
doing math, and he's got a lot of like issues to get through with Robin Williams. Yeah. How many weeks did he go into therapy and just like play the standoff, sitting and staring? Like,
yeah, but Austin, he's a genius. So obviously, he's gonna be better at therapy than the rest of us. He'll get it much quicker.
That's totally his argument too in the first half of this. See, I made that therapist cry. That means I don't need therapy. And it's like, no, you might be a monster.
That's not what that means, you psychopath.
But I've read all the same books as them.
I like the power move that he does where he reads the book of the person he's like, because, you know, he's talking with all these like, you know, upper academia type people. He's like, oh, I read your book. It fucking sucked.
Yeah. They're just happy to get the royalties. They're like, I don't give a shit what you thought about it.
Yeah.
You bought a copy? Cha-ching.
Guy's not buying those books. He goes to the library.
Oh.
He talked about that. That was one of his things.
Oh, I think once he starts dating Skylar, he's buying a bunch of books and stacking them up at home. And he's like, I'm going to be one of those guys with an office full of books. Just like Robin Williams and Skarsgård. Robin Williams' office, dead on for a college professor.
Yeah.
Art on the walls, just stacked up shit behind the desk from decades of not going through it. William Hurt's offices are more... I mean, that's probably what they're like at Harvard, but they look like...
Not William Hurt.
Sorry, Skarsgård. He looks like William Hurt in this. And I, you know why? Because I had Altered States on the brain. Have either of you ever seen that?
No.
It's got to go on my list sometime. It's one of the first DVDs I ever owned.
I'll give it to you. He does look a little bit like William Hurt in this movie.
He looks a lot like William Hurt with his blonde hair.
It's like the male pattern baldness thing.
It threw me off the entire, in the British accent. I was convinced this was William Hurt. But Altered States
didn't have a British accent. It was like Scandinavian or something.
Oh, okay. But Altered States, he's a professor in the 70s who gets into like ayahuasca research, like way, way back. And
I feel like Skarsgård played a lot of professors.
They both did. But I'll put that on the list because it takes some really weird turns.
Yeah.
Better than this movie. the whole reason Skarsgård and Robin Williams are taking care of Goodwill are because he got in that fight and he didn't calm down because he's too smart.
He punched a cop.
I think he kneed him in the groin, didn't he?
Something. He hit a cop, whatever it was.
And the judge does not take kindly to that, no matter how many court cases from the 17 and 1800s he's quoting.
And this guy's just so smart. He represents himself in court all the time.
That's...
He's got himself thrown out for like 7 different cases just because he's so good at arguing shit.
Always a great move to represent yourself in court.
You should always do that, everyone. Anytime you get a chance to represent yourself in court, you should do it.
It makes you look sane. Your Honor, yes, I'd like to question the witness. All right. All right, I'm going to do 2 different voices so the jury knows the difference between the attorney and the client. I'll allow it. He pulls the whole Stefan, like, Urkel, that kind of thing. He gets put in jail, and that's the plea bargain. Instead of $50,000 bail, which, he's just in jail for the rest of his life.
By the way, this happens in movies quite often, where it's like a premise of, like, you know, dude gets in trouble, and then, like, some usually a white dude, comes in and it's like, no, he doesn't have to go to prison. Let me take care of him. I'll vouch for him. He doesn't have to serve any prison, right?
Prison
I'm vouching for him.
Prison is a hellhole where he will just wither and die. This country doesn't believe in reformation. I will reform him. And the judge is like, you're right. We don't believe in reforming criminals. It is a hellhole. Take him. It'll be better this way. His genius won't be wasted. If he had gone to prison, criminal mastermind. And you know what? We've seen the future
what
of that
makes
movie,
you think
too.
He's not a criminal mastermind.
We've seen that movie, too. You remember the Informant?
Yeah.
Josh, have you seen this?
No.
Previous theater watch for me and Justin. It's got Matt Damon in it, and the whole movie is him in like an interview situation, more of an interrogation, and it keeps going to like flashbacks to his life, and he's like squealing on the corrupt practices his company has been doing for the past like 30 years. But like it gets darker and darker, the more it goes, the more he becomes an unreliable narrator and like sketchier he becomes. It's a really fun watch. But yeah, that's if Skarsgård hadn't shown up that day in court.
So, yeah, and then Robin Williams walks into this movie and, like you said,
saves it.
He's a shining beacon.
Just saves it, because until then, you've got, like, lowbrow versus highbrow, and it's just douchey Ben Affleck, Matt Damon not really saying anything, and then, like, the Harvard crowd. Minnie Driver, she's pretty good. She adds, like, some levity to it, so it's not, like, entirely serious and beige. She's, like, she's like wearing bright colors, at least.
Is the joke you missed her blowjob joke?
Yes. Okay.
Okay.
And you know what? I caught the end of it. I just didn't get it because I didn't hear the whole thing. And
you saw the whole joke?
No, I didn't see the whole joke. I missed the beginning.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he must have been quick with the remote. Because, like, I think the word blowjob left her lips, and my dad's like, oh, nope, gotta skip this.
There was, like, 2 or 3 blowjob jokes in this movie.
Yeah, there were.
He had to fast forward the one with the girl saying it.
That's the one he caught, because he'd been fumbling to get the remote for the last 3. Oh, God, cover your ears. Just singing as loud as he could.
A lot of random lines like that. I have like one wrote down that Robin Williams said where it's like arguing about paying his bar tab. And he's like, I got the $1 million lottery ticket right here. He's like, what's the jackpot? He's like, 12 million. He's like, I don't think that's enough to cover your tab. He's like, but it's enough to cover your sex change operation.
Yeah. Real douche chills running through a lot of the comedy in this.
Okay.
Written by Matt Damon and Ben Affleck.
No,
Robin, trust us. You gotta say it. It'll be way more impactful if you say it. It's how Tarantino get he's how he gets
Yeah.
Oscars.
That's what it is.
I don't know if Tarantino has any Academy Awards. He definitely got nominated for Pulp Fiction, but I don't know if he won.
Maybe. I don't follow the Oscars. I
Nah.
care.
Nah. Nah. But that's who this movie was made for, through and through.
Oh yeah, this is an Oscar bait movie.
Yeah.
100%. This is like what Oscar bait movies copy now. Like it's
Yes.
the same it yeah.
Very emotional. But also a little bit of blue collar levity,
Yeah,
a
you gotta
little
have
bit of troubled romance.
a little irreverency, yeah, stuff like that.
So Minnie Driver's leaving. She's completed like part of her. She's gone some high level schooling because she completed like 4 years of college here, and now she's going to San Francisco for like grad school, I guess.
Yeah.
And she asks him to
Did I
come
go to
along,
Yale?
and like immediately he's just like, "Fuck you." And like stands up out of bed and is just like terrified. And is
What
like,
do you want me
"Nope."
to come along for, huh? So you can leave me?
So
No,
you
I'm asking
shoot
you to
both my
come.
kneecaps in the middle of the desert on the way there?
Will, I'm asking you to come with me so I don't have to leave you. No, but you want me to come with you so you can leave me there, right? That's what you're gonna
You're
do.
gonna take my flask and then drive away honking and laughing and flipping me off. Yeah. So she goes, why is he calling her from a fucking payphone every time he calls? Like a couple times he didn't say anything, he just listens.
Oh, I don't know. And she has, says a bone-chilling line where she just like asks if it's one of her professors calling her again. I'm like, Jesus Christ, it's terrifying to be a woman.
Right. Professor Franklin, is that you again? Like, first of all, how'd she know it was Professor Franklin?
She was
Creepy.
wrong.
No,
That's wrong.
before, like, how that is, like, if he just calls and doesn't say anything, how'd she know which professor? Real creepy.
Yeah.
Just winks at her in class and is like, "Did you get the
Well,
favorable job last night?"
she's got a restraining order against Professor Franklin.
Oh, she's Star 69'd back in the day. Remember that?
Yeah.
Josh, you ever do that?
Do you remember
Project
payphones?
Yeah, some payphones
Sure.
are still around. Most of them have been like torn off.
Oh, and another thing, the smoking. Don't see this in movies anymore,
Everywhere.
but god damn, they were smoking every time they were on screen.
In diners, in cafes, in class. Yeah. Solving math problems. This scene with Skarsgård and Goodwill, like going up to the board, and they have some like lawn chairs pulled up in front of it, and they're like, "You did it!" And he puts his arm around him and just like hanging
Where
out
they
doing
do where they
math.
do where they do like the math like
Joke.
joke on the wall. I'm not smart enough to get the joke, but obviously they were doing something where he was like crossing stuff off and Matt Damon was like instantly solving it as he was changing the equation.
Oh, and
I'm
you
like,
just see
okay
this
guys,
assistant.
I get it. I get it. He's real good at math.
Just this assistant boiling in the back of the room watching the two of them. Just like snap a pencil in half or something, or stab the desk.
So this was directed by Gus Van Sant, apparently
Yes.
a director I haven't watched very many of his movies of.
Really? I thought you'd be more familiar with him.
Nope, I
Not
haven't seen very many.
in your wheelhouse, huh?
Yeah, he's one that I missed, I guess.
Josh, familiar with Gus Van Sant?
I've seen Psycho. He did the
Yeah.
remake of Psycho with Vince Vaughn.
Oh my, yeah.
That's because that's the one I've seen.
You haven't seen Elephant?
Yeah, I've seen Elephant. That was a film
Okay.
school movie.
Of course, right?
Yeah. But he's done a lot of movies, and I haven't watched very many of them.
A lot of music videos too is what he got his start in. Like I remember
Yeah.
back in the day he did the what is it? The slow Chili Peppers song when the first guitarist overdosed on heroin under the bridge.
Yeah.
He did
He
that
also
music
did some
video.
Bowie.
He did some Elton John, Stone Temple Pilots, bunch of stuff. I guess Finding Forrester was another movie kind of like this he did in 2000. And you can tell by the cover that he tried to emulate this one as hard as he could. It's got Sean Connery.
Oh, Milk was one that I haven't seen, but I heard is really good.
I've heard good things about that. You know what? I haven't seen it either. That's one that's on the list. That's a more recent one.
Yeah, it's 2008, more recent. A year after I graduated high school. Jesus Christ. Did they say Matt Damon was turning 21 in this movie? Okay.
Wait, you got a problem with that?
Yeah, he was not 21.
Yeah, he was more like 16, right? Just baby-faced, fresh out of high school. Him and Ben Affleck working construction together.
Yeah.
How old was he when he filmed this? I thought you had it pulled up. Sorry.
Look. How old is Will Hunting? That's what popped up. There's probably someone actually named that that has nothing to do with this movie.
And he's a math genius and he hates this movie. Took all my glory. All right.
How old?
Yeah, you don't have to read your Google searches out loud. Just give us the answers.
I will read them out loud.
I think we've arrived at that point.
He was 27.
In the show. So
he's 27.
That's a bit older than 20, what he's playing.
Mm-hmm. At least he wasn't in high school.
Josh, you didn't see this when it came out. You didn't know a thing about it. What are your feelings on it now, and would you recommend it?
I don't think I would recommend it. Robin Williams could not save this movie for me. I think the things I just kept hung up on wasn't that it was just really long and nothing happened of it. I think mainly, like, I just got hung up on the premise. I couldn't believe that this person who had a very catalogued, like, abusive backstory and bad upbringing, this is just a super genius. Because, like, yeah, they're the scene. It's like music. I just get things, except I constant quote reading material, and like that has nothing to do with being smart.
Well, it's because he doesn't know what a photographic memory is. He doesn't understand what he has.
Right, but like, how did he have the time to read these books and research papers and all? And if he had such a bad upbringing, did he just hang around the college every day for
probably
like
the
2
years
and read the library? I guess
he probably was at the library a lot because his home life sucked ass.
Now I'm not disputing the point of the movie. Like, obviously, people from like rough upbringings can like gain knowledge. It's harder to
sure, of course, yeah.
But I.
The amount of smart was unbelievable.
I agree with you in the sense that he wouldn't have known what to read if he just went and hung out at a library or whatever. He wouldn't have known what to research or where what books to pick up. Like,
right.
That's the kind of stuff that's taught to you in
these. He would have had like photographic memory of reading books about like conspiracy theories and shit.
Well, he probably would have started at one end of the library and just read to the other end. I don't know.
Maybe he just read a whole library.
The entire library. Yep.
Also, this relationship with the girl, well, like, I also didn't buy. They, like,
had
coffee, they fucked once, they had one argument, and I guess they're soulmates now. Like, to the point
where
he's willing to abandon his entire future.
I really like
hung out with like twice.
I really like
that they don't.
Future, but I agree because it's way too convenient. Robin Williams is talking about like his dead wife, and it's heartbreaking. And he's like, I found my soulmate, and like she died, and he keeps going into it. And like Will Goodwill is like, yeah, me too. And he's just treating this girl like shit. I don't think he threw away his future because he can go to any.
I mean, he could just do whatever he wants whenever he wants because he's a genius. But
it's very shoehorned. It's like he's looking for this because Robin Williams is telling him about it a little bit.
Of course, yeah. He's emulating Robin Williams a bit. Mm-hmm. And I like that the movie doesn't show him like getting back together with the girl, like him. It's just him driving off to go
off into the sunset
because he's definitely going to show up, and she's already dating someone else.
She lied about 100, where she's going to school.
100%.
She's going in Pittsburgh or something. She's like, yeah, she's like, San Francisco. Why don't you drive out there?
Fucking asshole. He was such a dick to her. I get it. They're supposed to be in love or whatever. Soulmates. Movie bullshit that doesn't actually happen.
We don't even, like, despite them being in the same scene a lot, I don't understand what was clicking them, right? He, like, shows up that one in a bar in front of her.
Thank you for bringing
this
up.
And then they go to a toy store.
I wanted to talk about this. Their dates are fucking atrocious. Yeah. They go to this, like, 99-cent toy store, and he's just throwing candy all over the ground, and this lady's
yeah, his magic trick. His magic trick is throwing candies. And she just thinks it's hilarious to wear a Rudolph nose.
And then, Josh, what was their second date? I remember it being just as... Oh! The dog races.
They get caught at some point, and they, like, get food. Oh, yeah, the dog races, too, for, like, 5 seconds for, say, like, I won!
Yeah.
And, like, that's it. And then they, like, eat food and kiss each other with mouths full of food, because that's fun. Look at how quirky they are.
Right.
They're just normal people on the inside.
I do like the scene where, I do like that Robin Williams finally got him to open up to him at all by telling a fart joke.
Sure.
Even Jesus is like fart jokes.
Yeah, their rapport back and forth. And like we said, Robin Williams, best part of the movie by far.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. But
would you recommend it, Josh?
No, I don't think so. I think that, you know, it's a fine, solid whatever, but I think, you know, if anyone thinks anything more of that, that I would say that this just is just overrated.
Yeah.
Like, I get that there's cool morals or whatever, and he's an interesting character. Robin Williams is an interesting character, but, like, I feel like there's better feel-good character flicks than this.
Right.
What about you, Austin?
This was my second time seeing it. The first time would have been definitely a VHS rental. Saw it in its entirety tonight. I enjoyed some parts of it. Some parts were funny. A lot of parts gave me those douche chills. Just like Ben Affleck and his friends being horrible to people and each other.
Aren't they charming?
This speech Ben Affleck gives him at like the job site.
He says, I hope you just disappear and I never hear from you again.
Fucking part of my day. It's when I come over to pick you up in the morning, and before I, like, get to your door, but after I get out of the car, those 10 steps where you might not be there. I'm your best friend, don't get me wrong, but just if you left without saying anything, that would make me so happy. And then he does it at the end, and I wish Ben Affleck would have just broken down into tears and been like, that asshole, I didn't mean it.
I just bought that fucker a car.
Yeah. I got to hear the Mary and Patty joke. So, you know, I crossed off the bucket list. No, I wouldn't recommend this. It's way too full of itself. The Matt Damon parts severely hurt the fact that Robin Williams is so good in this, because it's just angsty dude who's too smart, and it makes him angry, and he gets
too smart with abandonment issues,
and he gets out of that with his smarts.
Mm-hmm.
I think if this movie had just been, you know, a series of meetings with Robin Williams and the kid, and in meetings he talks about like the stuff he did, like in his past or during the day, or like that would be super cool. It's like a weird introspective via the medium of like therapy meetings.
Sure.
Because then we would see more Robin Williams.
Yeah, and we would see Matt Damon just acting. Because when he's acting, he's fine. When he's talking to the camera, it's fine. It's just the dialogue and the character I don't care for.
Yeah. You mean the dialogue and the character that he helped write?
Yeah, obviously it's not him. He's not an MIT genius or whatever in math.
No. Yeah.
But you're right, it has that feel of he wrote it. So no, I'm not going to recommend it. When Robin Williams does the famous "It's not your fault" and gets him to like finally break down and open up to him, and then Matt Damon is sitting at home just staring at a bare light bulb and the music's getting ominous, I'm like, oh shit, Thriller territory, here we go. They brought up Ted Kaczynski, the Unabomber, earlier.
Right.
Dark scene.
Yeah.
Oh, and one more scene I want to talk about. When he sends Ben Affleck in to do the interview, I had no idea what was going on. I thought maybe Ben Affleck was just going around town ripping people off, pretending to be him. And like it would, I guess I remembered some sort of like fight between them in this movie. Like Ben Affleck actually turned out to be a scumbag. Like he
Yeah,
tried to,
you remember correctly.
well,
He is a
like,
scumbag.
but I remember him doing something that made them get in like a physical altercation. I remembered wrong, I guess. But I
No, you
kept,
just remember them being awful towards each other and that being genuinely accepted as
I'm
their
your best
friendship.
friend. But every time I see you in the morning before I have my coffee, it makes me want to puke on your front steps because you're still there.
Why are you still here?
Justin, yes, your wish list movie, your dream movie. What'd you think?
Probably not.
Not a recommend?
Nah, it wasn't. I don't think I hated it as much as you guys did. I didn't think it was all that. I didn't think it felt. It is a pretty long movie, but I don't think it drag on all that much. Like, it had a pretty good pace. There's a lot of cringy stuff in it, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure. But I do think that the scenes with Matt Damon and Robin Williams are good.
Yeah, a lot of cringy wanting to be kind of Tarantino after Pulp Fiction dialogue of just dudes sitting around talking like dudes.
Yeah, just saying fuck all the time.
Oh shit. Stop watching porno in my mom's bedroom and jerking off in
No
my
actual
childhood.
F
Like,
bombs. I mean,
yeah.
he did berate that guy for being, well, I guess he didn't really. That scene where he
It's
like called out the
uncomfortable.
dude for being gay is uncomfortable for
'Cause you're
sure.
like, what the fuck's your point? He's like, I don't care, but you know, a lot of people would. And it's like, what the fuck are you talking about, Matt Damon? This is Harvard in the late 90s.
Think he was implying other people would care. I think he was like, why are you hiding that you're gay? Obviously to mess with them, but
Yeah. Just
you
felt
could
like a,
tell. It
it
was a
felt like a
jab.
cheap shot for just
Yeah.
for the movie, not even necessarily the character, just the movie to take a jab at that.
Yeah. It was definitely a jab.
Like I like when he tore Robin Williams apart by looking at the coloring on his painting. That was fine. He could have looked at something on this guy's desk and been like, "Oh, you murdered a guy last week." And the guy's like, "What are you talking about?" He's like, "That picture of you and the guy fishing, your boat, the SS killed my friend," or something. He just puts it together Sherlock style.
All right. Well, we all did our recommendations. And I'm not a romantic like this movie is, but I do have to see someone about a horse. Cuz there the line from the girl the movie was that they like I had to go see someone about a girl. I got to go see about a girl.
Yeah.
Isn't that like a scene about buying horses, that a euphemism for taking a shit?
I've never heard that before in my life. But if you want to hear Justin make other euphemisms about horses, like, where the hell? I guess you grew up by horses, right? Or around horses? Probably more horse euphemisms.
To see a man about a dog or horse, I Googled it
Okay.
to vindicate myself
Well,
in
you
my own
can
head.
find us making other euphemisms on our other shows. Mazeballs, what about wrestling in the show have you seen on podcast.com or the iTunes podcast app? You can find us on YouTube, Facebook, and Gmail under FapCheck. And we are on. I think that's it. thapjack@gmail.com. And sometimes we Twitch stream different games under FabCheck. We'll post that to the Facebook if we're doing it. Until next time, I'm Austin.
I'm Josh.
I'm Justin. Hey, have you guys seen